We have come today to the second part of a two-part lesson, the last lesson, lesson six in a series about Jesus, our Lord, Savior, and example. And we are looking at how Jesus endured suffering, was patient, while trusting in the Father. Jesus' enduring suffering was foretold in the Old Testament, especially in Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus endured suffering leading to the cross. Jesus' endurance is an example for us to follow. And Jesus endured suffering on the cross, which we will continue to look at today as we go through our lesson. And he provides the ultimate example of how we are to endure, even though we may be going through much suffering in this life that is connected also with how people react to us living the Christian life. John 19 and verse 17, they took Jesus, therefore, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha. Matthew 27 and verse 32, as they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross, that is the cross of Jesus. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after taking it, he was unwilling to drink. That is Jesus refusing the wine to drink as he was on the cross. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And above his head, they put up the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priest also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down. Now, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God, let God rescue him now. If he delights in him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. But what we see is Jesus enduring excruciating pain, dying on the cross, crucified, losing the ability to breathe easily in terrible physical pain, but also spiritually bearing the sins of his creation, even those insulting him and ridiculing him, although he is the sinless Son of God, God himself. And he is enduring all of this until his physical life is taken away. And he does all of that out of his love for God and love for us, that we might be forgiven of our sins and have hope of eternal life. Yes, Jesus endured the cross to show us an example also that we are to endure the pain of suffering in this life, living as a Christian, and how we are to continue on in spite of all difficulties to serve God. He is that example for us. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, when Christians were tempted to go back to, Jewish Christians tempted to go back to the law of Moses because of tremendous persecution from their fellow Jews against them for their Christian faith that they were practicing. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, "Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." You will not grow weary and lose heart. Look at Jesus. Look at what he was willing to endure patiently on our behalf, and now we endure, living to be like him and one day be with him. "You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son," quoting from Hebrews 3, Proverbs 3. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time, as seemed best to them, but he disciplined us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful, yet to those who have been trained by it afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And so we are to endure because God wants us to be disciplined so that we may live holy lives, separated to do his will and not conform to this world. Therefore, we need to go through trials so that we might be disciplined in this life and give ourselves to serving God. And we are to go forward and follow the example of Jesus, who was willing to do God's will, even to the point of dying on the cross and all the suffering involved in it. And we are to endure as well, so that we might be pleasing to him and one day be with him. 1 Peter 2 and verse 18, servants, be submissive to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor if, for the sake of conscience toward God, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly. For what credit is there if, when you sin and are harshly treated, you endure it with patience? But if, when you do what is right and suffer for it, you patiently endure it, this finds favor with God. Why does it find favor with God, suffering unjustly? For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, that is, suffered unjustly, committed no sin, but still suffered, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps, who committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. So we are to suffer even unjustly, and we follow Jesus' example. who suffered great injustice because of his love for us and desire to do the will of his Father to save humanity from sin. With God's help, we can endure temptations, fight against sin at the point of temptation, look for God's way of escape and flee from the things that entice us to sin instead of submitting to them every time. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man, and God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you will be able to endure it. Yes, we will be able to endure it if we look for God's way of escape and flee those things by which we are tempted. It is endurance or patience that must be added to our faith. 2 Peter 1 and verse 4, for by these promises he has granted to us, his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence or moral courage, you are to supply in your moral excellence knowledge. Go back and pick it up. In your moral excellence knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, or patience, or endurance, standing up under trials, and in your perseverance, godliness, seeking to please God above all, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love, self-sacrificing action on the part of those in need. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. Our patience must be filled with hope that one day we will be with Jesus for eternity, the Father and the Holy Spirit, if we continue on until the end. Romans 8:24, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope, for who is not hope, for who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it. That is, hoping for our resurrected body to be given, so that we may be in heaven for eternity. While here on earth, though, we endure to the end, even suffering, showing patience in a love that is like the love that God shows for us. Love is patient, that is long-suffering, that is not provoked, but continues to hold temper. Love is kind and is not jealous. Love does not brag and is not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own. Is not provoked. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. And then the word endures all things, bears up under all things, is patient. Verse 13, but now faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love, because that will continue on into eternity. Yes, patience, endurance only comes as we go through the trials of this life, including death. But that is what is needed if we're going to be like Jesus. And he has shown us the ultimate example, going to the cross and all the things before the cross and on the cross, enduring until the end, trusting in his heavenly Father, that one day he would go back to heaven and be with him again and the Holy Spirit. And that is what we must trust in, that we endure to the end, that one day we might be with God in eternity. Jesus endured suffering. It was foretold in the prophets that he would suffer, Isaiah and David. Jesus endured an example for us to follow. We have looked at that. Jesus endured suffering leading to the cross. Jesus endured suffering on the cross. Jesus endured endurance, an example for us to follow. It is still something that we are to follow today. On the cross, Jesus endured with God's help. We can endure temptations. Our faith must display endurance. Our hope and our love also must display endurance. That is the type of faith that we are to have, that is filled with patience and endurance, that one day we might be with Jesus for eternity. We're going to stop there, and we're going to encourage all to become like Jesus. But in order to become like Jesus and one day be with Jesus, we must first be united with Jesus in the forgiveness of all past sins. And if we're going to do that, as we can look in Acts chapters 2 and 8, how they became Christians in the first century, which is the only way anyone can become a Christian even until now, when they heard about Jesus dying for the sins of the world. Even though he led a sinless life, he died for the sins of the world, suffered much persecution, even to the point of dying on a cross, paid for our sins, and provided a way for sinners to be saved. We believe in Jesus as God. He is along with the Father and the Son, he is God. He is the one who has been died for our sins, been raised, and has been exalted by God to his right hand, ruling as king and priest even now. When we believe that about Jesus, that he is the Son of God, We are to turn from our sins, repent of our ways, change our mind, turn to God, confess that faith in Jesus as the Son of God, and immediately, if possible, be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might be united with Jesus, forgiven of all past sins. That is the point. Faith leading to repentance, confession of that faith, and baptism. That is when we become a child of God at baptism, trusting in the Father to forgive us through Jesus. We would encourage all to do that if you have not done so. We are not saved by the sinner's prayer or infant baptism or any other way, but just what we can read in Acts chapters 2 and 8. We would encourage all to do that who need to. Before it is ever too late, we would be glad to communicate with you if you would text, call, or email us at any time. We would also be glad to study with you by Zoom if you have access to that, or find those, hopefully, in your area who can study with you if that is better. Those who are already Christians, we continue to live and learn the Apostles' teaching, Acts chapter 2, verse 41 through 47. But we know we fall short of His will day by day. And as we do so as Christians, we are to repent and pray, confessing our sins to God, and He will continue to cleanse us from all sin. Acts chapter 8, verse 18 through 24, 1 John chapter 1. We would encourage all of us, whether Christians who need to be restored back to the Father, or those who have never become Christians or have been deceived into thinking we have become a child of God when the Scriptures do not confirm it, we would encourage you to become a Christian today. Whenever you may listen or view this lesson, we are ready to communicate with you at any time. We look forward to that. We pray that that will take place, that whatever happens, you may turn and be saved by the gospel before it is too late, as today we draw our lesson to a close.